You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Mutsi, and back off the injury report, Mr. Christopher Thomas is back with us today. You know, he had a DNP in the last episode because he lost his voice. CT, can you say what's up to the people? You got a voice today?
Hey, what's up, everybody? I sound like Tone Loke tonight.
Oh, you sound like the Cookie Monster tonight. That's what you sound like. It's a prime Doc Rivers, Dikembe Mutombo, Tom Thibodeau mashup. That's what we got going on here.
There you go. No.
Well, we had a very interesting game six this evening. The Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors in Golden State. And remember, the Warriors were up 3-1. The series is now tied at 3 games apiece. Things can get real sticky real quick in the playoffs because the Houston Rockets have figured something out here. You know, Jalen Green, once again, 3 of 11, 12 points. I think we can stop hoping for the Jalen Green game. Like, now, if we get to game 7 and he lights it up, fantastic. But we can't factor that in, okay? Dylan Brooks, 1 of 5, only 3 points. But here's what happened. Steady Freddy. Lights out shooting continued. Fred VanVleet, 6 of 9 from downtown on his way to 29 points, 8 assists and 8 rebounds. Reminding me of those 2019 playoff runs. That's what it's reminding me of. You remember when he had his kid in 2019, he got this burst. I'm like, has Fred had a secret child that no one knows about somewhere? Because how else has he suddenly just flipped a switch like this in the playoffs?
That's what he does, baby.
This is what he does. But let me run you through the game, you know, before we even get into that, we got to salute Coach Greg Popovich, who today announced he will no longer be coaching the San Antonio Spurs. A true legend, a true great of the game of basketball. You know, Pop has been coaching NBA basketball as long as I can remember. I don't know what a world is like without Pop coaching basketball. You know, he's had a dynastic run, if that's the right word, a dynastic run where from the David Robinson and Tim Duncan teams all the way to the Tim Duncan, Ginobili and Parker, then the evolution of Kawhi Leonard. And then you were thinking, all right, he's going to build another one now with Wemby. And then they just had Castle win Rookie of the Year. But, you know, it's time for him to move on. They promoted the interim coach. But just shout out to Coach Pop. CT, have you got any stories for the people or a favorite Coach Pop moment that you have?
My best interaction with him was Basketball Without Borders in Serbia. I went with my main man, Gary Harris. And Pop was one of the staff there, U.S. staff. So got to spend a little bit of time with him, but it almost, for everybody on the NBA side, they seemed like the, hey, leave him alone, don't bother Coach Pop. You know, keep occupied with what you're doing here, like that. So I took the chance to talk to him. He was really approachable. We had a brief, but a really good conversation. And just the guy that I talked to was the guy that you hear about, was the guy he loves him some life. He's not all about basketball. He's about a lot of good things.
And CT, I know you're a big wine guy, and I know Coach Pop is a huge wine guy.
Yeah,
you cracked a few bottles.
The funny part that evening, everybody was out to dinner, and I got to enjoy wine with Coach Pop, like
that's
so many
legendary.
Few others have, but it was a good time. So props to him.
You know, one great thing about Pop as well, whenever you go for dinner with Coach Popovich, he will leave an extraordinary tab for the waiting staff, for the waitresses and the waiters. The tip that he leaves for those staff is, like, the guy's so generous. So I just wanted to say that at the start of the show, obviously
let me say this real quick, because I just remember it as I look at my luggage bag right here. He and I on that trip lost our luggage upon arrival at the airport.
That's the worst. That's the worst.
Yeah. There's a connection.
There you go. Round the world with Coach Pop. But let's get back to this playoff series, because the man of the hour, the man of the moment, is Mr. Steven Adams. The big fella finished with 17 points. They went to hack at Adams in Coach Pop's spirit. He used to do it to Shaq all the time. And Steven Adams went 9 of 16. respectable, you know. It's kind of weird because when Draymond's not on the floor, you may as well hack Steven Adams because you're probably going to concede a bucket if you don't.
Yeah,
You know what I mean?
guaranteed.
For the Warriors, right? Steph Curry gives you 29, but it takes him 23 shots to get there. Jimmy Butler gives you 27. But outside of that, Pajemski gave you 10. Moses Moody gave you 13 off the bench, but he got 13 on 13 shots. I want to talk about this defensive game plan from Ime Udoka because a lot of people criticize zone defenses for whatever reasons. However, he's rolling this out in the playoffs, and it's being so effective that the Warriors also started playing some zone defense as well. And what Ime Udoka is doing here is he's disrupting the rhythm of the Warriors' offense because they'll switch to a zone for a little bit. They'll be trapping Steph Curry a little bit, making the role players beat you. Maybe they'll go to a straight up coverage for a couple of possessions. They're back to the zone. He's not allowing the Warriors' offense to establish any flow, and it's very difficult to get your rhythm going on the offensive end when the defense is constantly changing its coverages and its looks. And this has been all season long. The Houston Rockets have had great defense, and this is a signature of Ime Udoka coach teams. They're always locked in on the defensive end. And a lot of people are laughing this season about the quote, defense wins championships. In these last two games, you're seeing
It's
why.
true.
Because the adjustments that Udoka, he hasn't made any huge adjustments on the offensive end. Like obviously 17 points from Steven Adams is nice, but they're just overwhelming them with size and offensive rebounds. But on the defensive side of the basketball, this is how you win games. And the game actually started out though with the Warriors crushing them in transition and getting to the free throw line. And they really shored up on that in the second half because at halftime, I think the Warriors only had a 5-point lead. And then Jabari Smith, he got it going in the third. The whole team really made solid contributions. Şengün had 21-14. Amen Thompson, he had 14 points as well. They made some good contributions. They turned it up in the second half. But what are your thoughts on this, the double bigs now? Because they're not starting Steven Adams, but he's playing over 30 minutes. So they're really playing a lot of minutes now with double bigs, if not triple bigs. And this is something I've talked about a lot here on the show. In this series, the Rockets are plus 53 with Steven Adams on the floor and minus 39 without him. He is the difference maker in this series. And what I love, the Warriors came back from a 3-1 lead against the Thunder in 2016. And only 13 times teams have come back from a 3-1 deficit. And on that team in 2016 was a 22-year-old Steven Adams who got kicked in the nuts by Draymond Green. And this would be the perfect revenge because Steven is a chill guy. He's one of the funniest players to be around. He loves just, you know, he doesn't take life seriously. He loves having a great time. He's a great guy. And, you know, even when that thing happened with Draymond, he didn't really do anything. And it's interesting to me because a lot of players in the league want to be tough guys. Everyone wants to be a tough guy. Steven Adams would knock out every single one of you. And I'll tell you that for free. I'll tell you that for free. Steven Adams is going to knock out
He's
all of you.
well, he's one of 18 kids, so
Yeah.
he's been through it. So
Yeah. And it,
making it to the NBA, playing basketball for your livelihood, this is all just fun and games to him.
exactly.
He's
And
had to fight for food at the table.
you know, he doesn't take it too seriously, but Draymond Green takes things too seriously because this game began the first few possessions. The Rockets just weren't guarding Draymond Green, right? He was wide open. He hits his first three. Then I think he missed the next two. And 3 minutes into the game, he gets a flagrant one. He kind of illegally screens Jalen Green and then kind of grabs the back of his head and tries to push him to the floor. So 3 minutes into the game for
The
no reason
antics,
whatsoever.
the antics. So
Like,
I feel he's trying to steal Brooks' thunder with the whole narrative of, okay, I'm the meanest,
yeah.
baddest, most corrupt on the court. Like I,
See,
either
I thought he was just in a bad mood because LeBron got sent home last night.
that. Yeah, that too. That part. But I feel Draymond Green is the dad that plays with his son in pickup ball, and he's trying to prove to his son that he's still got game, but just can't quite get it done. And so it resorts to old school, old man prison ball. And he comes off like that, and I don't know him personally, but it's getting old. It's, you know, it's been old, but it's getting old, and it's that's not basketball. You know, with the stuff he's doing is, come on, guy. Like, you know, if people were to retaliate against him, it'd be warranted at this point.
And it's insane that he gets a flagrant and then he's screaming in the face of the referee, and the referee's not going to give him a technical for that.
Just
And it's
taking
like,
it.
It's like, come on, man. There's no other player in the league that could get away with something like that. It is absolutely ridiculous. No,
Luca,
no, no. After getting a flagrant for doing what he did, Luka and LeBron would never do that. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, they argue with referees, but they argue with referees because they think they've been fouled.
Correct.
Draymond
Correct.
Green will punch someone in the face and still argue with the referee and try and say it's not a foul. That's the difference.
Yeah, he's different though. He's different and super good
Oh,
basketball player.
amazing. But he's a generational defender. He might be one of the
Yes.
greatest defenders of all time. And it's just a shame. I'm all for getting heated in the moment and physicality and whatnot. But 3 minutes into the game, that's completely unnecessary because you're
That's
giving the
funny.
other team free throws, possession, and you're giving yourself a foul. Like, why are you doing that? It's not like things were getting heated. The game had just started. People were still finding their seats to sit down.
And like I said, I go green, go white, love me some Sparty guys, but he's taking it to the Hollywood extreme of being the bad guy, the nemesis. I'm kicking my man in the back of the head the other night.
Yeah, Tari
Yeah.
Eason. Yep.
And it was like, okay, most people saw that as, nah, he didn't mean it. It's
Oh,
like,
come on, man.
yeah.
Come on, man. And
Yeah.
if you look back at that, there was a split second where he tried to kick Tari in the nuts, but then he refrained at the last second. Like,
And
I don't know what's going on with
yeah.
Draymond, man. I don't know. Like, his therapist needs to get fired and replaced because, like, I understand. No, I understand. When people get flagrants and technicals on purpose, right? Lots of times coaches get themselves thrown out of the game to try and
Yes.
energize their team, or
Yes.
some players will pick up a really hard foul to try and, send a message to the other team. But this one, and I've watched a lot of Draymond doing foolish things, right? And some of them I can kind of understand. But this one was just like, bro, what are you doing? Like, I'm still finding my remote to turn the volume up, and you're trying to drag this man to the floor by his head and give away a flagrant foul from early. And it's a shame
Man.
because I thought the Warriors were playing well. Like, Pajemski drawed like two charges. He drew two charges there in the first half of the first quarter. And the Warriors were in this, and it's like you had a chance to close out in game five. You went down so big in the first half that you just rested. You rested your guys so you could come home and win game six. And then your most experienced players doing foolishness. The Rockets' double big zone absolutely stifled your offense. The only points you were really getting was transition and free throws. And then Steph kind of got going from three. He hit some crazy shots on an 11-0 run to make the game close. And then it was interesting because the Warriors went to a zone and the Houston offense started to struggle a little bit. And then they inserted Jabari, who could shoot the ball a little bit more. But do you want to know the funniest part of the game for me, CT? Do you want to know?
Can I guess?
You can
No,
guess.
no,
You can
no,
guess. I don't know if
no.
you would have caught this because I'm on League Pass and you're on television, so you might have been on commercial break when this happened. But go ahead.
No, okay, tell me. I had a play in mind, but
Oh no
go
no
ahead,
no no!
tell me.
It was so they showed an interview with Steve Kerr at halftime, just before the third quarter starts, right? And he goes, "We have to defend without fouling," right? 6 seconds into the start of the second half. I don't know why the camera goes from Steve Kerr to Fred VanVleet getting fouled on a 4-point play.
Four point play.
And it's like you couldn't script it any better. We've got to defend.
That's the play that I was thinking of. I was like, wow, that's where you start the second half. That's how the game's gonna go. You're gonna foul Fred's been killing it from three, and you're gonna foul him to give him 4 point access. Like, come on now. That's a Steph Curry play. That's
No, but it was just like they were just not ready for the second half to begin. Like, no,
Guaranteed.
they just lost
Guaranteed.
sight of him and he just catches the ball. And it's like, you're supposed to be the experienced team. You're supposed to be, you've got championship caliber players there. You've been the best defense in the NBA since you got Jimmy Butler or whatever the stat is. How are you making the mistakes that we're expecting the young team to make in this stage of the series?
I think it's the greatest matchup of youth that are coming up and do. And they know it. And then old heads that they're trying to hang on to it.
Do you
They're trying to
think
hang on to it.
the Warriors have this mentality of, oh, we're going to beat them when we want to beat them? So, like, they're just playing with their food.
Some of that is The Rockets are undeniable. When they don't always play the best of basketball offensively, they've been half court stressed all season. Defensively, they play strong. They make dumb fouls all season. They're starting to put it together in the right moments against the right team, like a team that they win this series, confidence on 1,000, because they've beaten Draymond the Great, Steph the Great, Jimmy Playoff the Great. Like that builds things in the locker room, especially of youth. And you know, Fred's post game interview, you know, it was with Scott Van Pelt. He's saying, I gotta go in the locker room, crack heads, remind the young fellas, we haven't done anything yet. We just tied it up, meaning we've been down this series. So,
The Houston Rockets crushed them on the glass, crushed them in points in the paint, crushed them in second chance points. The Warriors getting way more fast break points. That was really the only good offense they could get against this kind of zone that Houston are running. Here's a question for you, though. Another game with 0 minutes for Jonathan Kuminga. Even when Steve Kerr empties the bench, Braxton Key, Gui Santos, Kevin Knox, Pat Spencer, Trayce Jackson-Davis, Jonathan Kuminga is not even getting the garbage time minutes now. Now, are the Warriors trying to tank Kuminga's value so that he re-signs there in the summer when he's a restricted free agent? Or Steve Kerr hates him? Or is there a reason that you can see why he's not even getting garbage time minutes?
he's getting the Jason Tatum treatment, Olympic version. So tough for him, because he was supposed to be the kid, the player to come into the franchise and be handed over the next up mantle or, you know, responsibility to the franchise. It hasn't come to fruition, and now it looks like it's being smothered to the extent of, you got to wonder what's their plan for him.
It's interesting. Do you think that he will be in the game in game seven? Because his athleticism, his energy could make a little difference for them.
He's the exact player to play against this type of Rockets team with all that youth and athleticism and size. He's the match. And for him not to be playing says a whole lot on the coaching staff. It says a whole lot, maybe for him himself, like not to be presenting his case. I mean, if I were him at this point, I'd have little passive aggressive comments in the media.
Well, that's what he did last year, and that was the only reason he got back into rotation last year.
I mean, got to do what you got to do if you want to play.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting because you never want to play with your food like this, and the Warriors should know better than this. And it makes me think maybe they're not playing with their food. Maybe the Rockets have actually figured out defensively this team is way too small. So we can live with having not a lot of shooters out on the court because we're just going to get the offensive rebounds, put them back in a hoop. Or we're just going to have bigs. Like the thing about Steven Adams that I think is very underrated, and the thing about Alperen Şengün, which I think is underrated, is their passing. Even if it's not directly to assists, it can sometimes be passing out the post, they swing the ball, and then they get a shot off that. Their passing and their IQ, I think, is massively underrated. The Warriors have got to do something to counter their size. They've got Quinnen Post, they've got Kevon Looney, they've got Trayce Jackson-Davis.
They don't have enough. This remnants of Rudy Gobert versus the Lakers, holding up the ball and everybody jumping to reach for it. That's what this looked like. With Stephen Adams, he's a grown man. Post doesn't want any of that. Kevon Looney could fight with that, but that's not what he does. And Trayce Jackson is undersized against even Alperen Şengün. So it's a bad matchup. And thankfully, real coaches just, hey, stay at the rim. The ball will find you. Go get the rebounds. Put ball in rim. Easy basketball.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for the Warriors to overcome it. I think for me, though, the X factor of having Stephen Curry, and then when Steph Curry takes up so much attention, Jimmy Butler, cool. The Houston Rockets are more than happy to let anyone other than Steph beat them. And some nights that pays off. Shots aren't falling. Buddy Hield was zero from the field tonight.
Say
Draymond Green
oh,
was
so
three
it
from
was
eight.
there's the key. One more again. Buddy Hill was what?
Zero from four.
Oh.
So, this is the thing, is like it's a risky strategy the Rockets are playing with. And it's really the only strategy you can have against a player as good as Stephen Curry. Now, game seven, if Buddy Hield decides to drop 5 3-pointers, then you're going to be in trouble. If Pajemski decides to get heated up, then you're in trouble. If Gary Payton starts hitting shots, if Moody starts hitting shots, these are the things, though. Can you rely on these guys in the game? We know what Jimmy's going to bring in a game seven. We know what Steph's going to bring in a game seven. We know what Draymond's going to bring. But that's the question for the Warriors, is if they're making our role players beat them, then our role players have to beat them. That has to be it, because they're playing so aggressively on Steph. They're face guarding him. They're trapping him. They're not really, even though he still somehow manages to take 23 shots, he's not doing it. It's not what he's able to do against most other teams.
I think it's more so on the Rockets and Jalen Green finally coming back to the series. He had a 38-point game, and then it's been a struggle bus
On
for
offense,
him.
yeah.
So Fred VanVleet is going to do what he does. He's a winner. Even if he doesn't need to score like he's been scoring last three games at this point, he's going to find a way to get great possessions, great looks, make plays, play some defense. He's real. Jalen Green has to step up in this game seven. Everybody else, for the most part, is doing what they need to do to make the Rockets, at least have a chance to win. And then, like tonight, they pulled away with ease. Of course, Golden State came back, made it look good, but it was not a contest in the second half, looking at the game.
Absolutely not. But what will be a contest, CT, is game seven tomorrow night between the Clippers and the Nuggets. Mr. Armstrong is away at the moment, but he gave me a call. He wanted to let the people know he's rolling with the Clippers for game seven.
Oh, okay.
Before we get into our predictions, let's go through game plans for each team. If you're the Nuggets, if you're coach of the Nuggets, what are you telling them before this one? Because they made their move with Nick Batum. You got to figure something out.
Yeah, I think it's pretty simple for Denver is to stay on the positive side of the equation. Get in transition. Get Jokic the ball early and often so he can make everything happen. And then boy's got to hit shots. He finds you on a cross-court pass in the corner, you got to hit that. He drives in, doubles down, drag, dribble, crab dribble, drop in the post, passes out. You got to hit that. He finds you on a backdoor cut. You got to get the foul and the bucket.
Do you think that Jokic needs to be more aggressive in looking for his shot? Because there are times where he's open for a shot, but he's still trying to make a play for his teammate. Like, we know Jokic is great and no one really criticizes his game, but there are times where I watch him and I'm like, you could have just scored that.
No, it's time for him to dominate his own matchup with Zubac. And that's been a problem. And Zubac, it's well known Zubac plays him the best of any of the league, throughout the league. But it's time for Jokic to do what he does, triple-double version, but also put
He's
it down,
averaging
put it to bed.
25, 12, and 11 for the series so far.
No, he but so he's going to do that, but it's time for him to dominate, foul out Zubac.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. If I'm the coach of the Denver Nuggets, right? The first 10 plays, big man, get to the box,
There
go
you
back
go.
Zubac. Every
There you
we're
go.
just gonna do that until he's out of game. He's gonna pick up two early fouls. They're gonna have to bring in Batum or Ben Simmons. And guess what? Big fella. It's game seven. We need you to win this for us. Get back to the block. Everyone clear out. Space the floor. If they double, you're getting a wide open shot. I'm having just my shooters out there. Give him the ball. That's what I gotta do, because Zubac's impact on the boards as well is so understated. So if you're the Clippers, though, what's your game plan here?
I would do clip All that reshow, all that of the third quarter the other night
Of game
with pow
six.
pow, pow pow pow, going crazy with Kawhi just doing what he does, being just efficient, being a machine on both ends. Like it's not that he gets every steal, but the deflections, the chucks he gets on ball side cuts, the in lane deny, like he shuts down parts of the floor.
And he has not ever spoken about his defense. No one ever talks about Norman Powell's defense. You know what I mean? Like,
But they're tough when Norman Powell is activated in that way. Offensively, he's been doing that at a higher level this season. Not like that though. Like he went crazy the other night. Like that was incredible. Harden, he's the first half guy, tails off in the second half. He needs to have a full game. If he's not going to shoot it, score it, he needs to be playmaking.
They don't really have a true point guard, so he's got to fill that
True.
role.
He's got to do it.
I'm
So
looking at Kawhi Leonard though. You're healthy this year, my brother. I need at least 30 from Kawhi. I need at least 30 from Kawhi.
he'll get there. I told you this series comes down to Kawhi and Joker and last one standing, last one not in foul trouble, last one healthy, last one not tired. And
And it's only been a 48-hour turnaround between one game off and you travel on your day off. So they've traveled up to the altitude of Denver.
yes.
CT, the all-important question is who's winning game seven?
Nuggets.
Nuggets.
Let's go, Nuggets.
Okay.
5280, baby. 5280.
I'm going with the Clippers.
It is.
Not for any real reason, just to make it more exciting when we do this tomorrow. I was talking to BJ about this earlier on the phone, and I said to him, for me, this game seven is a coin flip. I couldn't call it either
is.
way,
It
like,
is. It really is, though. It really
because
is.
it's all about the unexpected contributions here. Like, you don't know, Christian Brown might hit five threes. You never know, Russell Westbrook might give you another 25-point game. Jamal Murray might turn into a superhero again. There's so many variables. I just don't know who's turning up. It's game seven. Bring your game, not your name.
You know what I don't want to see though? Because it's another game. We finally got another game seven of these whole playoffs to this point. I don't want to see ball in between the legs last second. I don't want to see pass fumbled out of bounds
Oh man,
for
we've
a
seen a
game
few of them.
potential
Malik
game
Beasley,
winning
Gary
time.
Trent Jr. You should be ashamed.
I don't want to. That looks NCAA March Madness instead
Yo,
of
that looks high school,
NBA
man. Like,
play. You know what I'm saying? So I'd love for this game seven between Clippers Nuggets to go down to the last play, the last second, and make or miss a shot.
yeah.
No refs involved. Let's just play basketball
Absolutely.
instead of if he could have, if he would have.
Yeah, like
No
if
step,
Malik
no
Beasley
stepping
caught
out of
that ball last
bounds.
night, or if Gary Trent Jr. caught that ball, like, come on, man. It's going to be very interesting, and we're going to be here breaking it down. So, CT, I need to make sure you don't scream too loud at the TV when it gets to crunch time, because I can't have you losing your voice again. But
No.
the Clippers are trying to get revenge for that bubble game seven, where the Nuggets took them out after being down 3-1. They got to exercise those demons. The Nuggets, obviously, just 2 years removed now from a championship. They've got to prove that they fired their coach and it was the right decision. So interested to see the game plan that Coach Jokic comes up with in this one. Man, I just want to see who turns up. I want to see which version of Jamal Murray turns up. I want to see which version of Russell Westbrook turns up. I want to see which version of James Harden turns up, which version of Kawhi Leonard turns up, and then we're gonna play from there. But
I tell
either
everybody,
way,
hey,
go ahead.
with the Nuggets, it's all Jokic and it's the light skin game. Like, if they come with it, Michael Porter Jr.
Michael Porter
catches
and
his
Jamal.
shots, rebound. Jamal, you got to hit shots. You got to take
AG.
shots. AG, do your thing.
Should I tell you the real winner of this series, though? The Oklahoma City Thunder have been sat home for damn near like 6 months at this point, just watching these two teams beat each other into the mud. Like, one of them is going to come from game seven and 48 hours later play game one against us. And we're watching all these games, scouting all these games, and our game plans are ready, regardless of who wins. We've got two game plans set up. Video staff have got it all together. The scouts have got it all together. They're
Well,
ready.
they, but you know, their game plan for game one is platoon. They're gonna play 15 people, 5 minutes at a time.
This
Go
could
hard
run.
as you can. Next five, hockey shift. Go as hard as you can. Next five, go as hard as you can. Okay, starting unit. That's the easy math. Like, that sucks.
Regardless of who wins, I got OKC walking through to the conference finals. Regardless of who wins.
Yeah, I did. Short of injury, short of something stupid,
Yeah.
OKC is primed for this season, for this year, to make it to the finals and make a point, put up a good standing. So it'd be good finals. Everybody's going to be competitive, war tested, but they're just really, really good. Deep good, defense good, offense good. Got the best player, good. Like, they're good.
Absolutely. Well, we will find out who OKC are going to face tomorrow when we break down the game seven between the Clippers and the Nuggets right here on the Hoop Genius podcast. CT, I appreciate you as always. It's great to have your voice back. And I'm
Getting
excited for
there.
tomorrow, bro. I'm excited for tomorrow.
Hey.
Game, this is what it's about. It's a Saturday night. It's earlier. It's and imagine this, CT. It's a 12:30 tip-off. That means we should be finished by 3 or 4, which means I should get an early night. I'm super excited.
Right.
Guarantee the
Hey,
game goes to overtime
let's
now.
do
Now that
it.
I've said that, it's
Yeah,
gonna be like triple OT and it's gonna be 6 a.m.
right.
before I know it.
Exactly.
It's gonna be
Exactly.
400 ref reviews that take an hour to complete.
One of the lights will fall on the court, so
Yeah,
they have to
something's gonna happen.
replace a rim or something.
Something's gonna happen. But regardless, we will be here doing a
Nah, man.
podcast for you. So make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And until tomorrow night, get buckets.